It's good to see you guys. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. So glad you're with us this morning on this Sunday. Welcome to New Life Church. If you're new, my name is Jeremy Smith, the lead pastor here, and we're privileged and thankful for each one of you. I want to welcome and say hi to those of you who may be watching online. Our vision and our mission here at New Life is to make and to keep Jesus the center of our life, of our church, and in our community. And I want to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll be going there here in just a moment. But before we do, I just want to introduce a new series that we are starting today, a new sermon series called Back to Church Blueprints. Back to Church Blueprints. And this particular series coincides with a national day of celebration called National Back to Church Sunday, which is going to be taking place in September the 15th. So this series is planned to take us all the way through to that day. And on that day, the 15th of September, we'll be coming and having communion in our worship service that morning. But we will also, after church, we're having a family picnic. And so I want to put that on your radar for your calendar that day, if you can make it. And then be thinking of someone whom you may be able to invite, a family member, family members, plural, or a neighbor, a friend, a coworker, someone that perhaps maybe not in church, distant from church, never been to church. We don't want to try to bring people from another church unless it's just one of those days where it's like they're good with that. But we want to extend that invitation to those who primarily are not around church, because we just, not to show off our church, but ultimately, we want to show people the love of Christ, and so that's on the 15th. You'll hear more details about that coming up. And in this series, we're going to be, we're going to be exploring the basic blueprints of the early original church, and how those blueprints are still necessary for our modern life today, our modern life in faith in Christ. And so let's read this text together. I've chosen the Passion Translation today for this particular text, but you can follow along on the screen, and hopefully you have your Bibles with you. You can look at it as well. But it's Acts 2, verse 42 through 47. Let's read it with me, not out loud, but to yourself. Every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together for regular prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers, say all, they were all in fellowship as one body. They shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life, those who were coming to salvation in Christ. You know, when I was in high school, which is now a little right at 30 years ago when I graduated, it's crazy, my 30th reunion is next month, and one of the classes I took my sophomore, junior, and senior year was drafting. That's a basic intro to architectural engineering. And that I loved that class, and it actually intrigued a desire and a thought of mine. I'm to enroll when I went to college initially. I enrolled to initially become an architectural engineer. I did not. My path changed, my study changed, my degree changed, and even though that might have changed, I've always been fascinated with blueprints of buildings, of structures, of anything. I like to look at how things are made. That's just kind of me. If something's made, I like to go in and look at, well, how was that designed? How was that brought together. Somebody's mind thought of that and drew that out and created it to a standard that is hopefully good and safe and consumable for people to have and enjoy. And I've always been fascinated with blueprints. And here in Acts 2, we see a blueprint. We see a blueprint of faith, a blueprint of practice that these believers use to build their lives upon. And today, we're going to look at those blueprints in a small way, but in a way that magnifies the vision of these blueprints. And I've titled the message today, Blueprints of Vision. Read with me in Colossians 3, verse 1. This is out of the Message version. Typically, we preach a lot from the New Living Translation and sometimes from the NIV, but I've picked a few different versions today, so they're on the screen with me too. But if you're taking notes, it's Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul, we just came out of a whole study in July of Colossians. Verse 1 and 2, he says, "So if you're serious about living this resurrection life with Christ, then act like it." I mean, you can't get any more plainer than that, right? Paul just puts it plain. He doesn't butter it up, doesn't put some jam on it. He just delves it out. If you're serious about living this life in Christ, then he just says, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along with your eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things that are right in front of you. Instead, he says, look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ, because that's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Several words in there speak to focus, speak to seeing, speak to vision. Look up and be alert to what Christ is doing. Where Christ is, that's where the action is. Christ declared to his disciples that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. The action of Christ is in and through the church. And so Paul is saying, look, get a vision for church. Get a vision for God's idea, God's blueprint around church. Look up and see what God is doing, what God is building, and be a part of that. Get God's vision for your life. The Bible talks in several different ways about having the right kind of focus, perspective, and vision and outlook for our life. In fact, wisdom tells us in Proverbs 29 that without God's vision for our life, Proverbs 29:18, that without his vision for our life, what happens? It says we end up wandering around in life. We end up stumbling around in the darkness. We end up aimlessly running wild with no clear direction, no clear purpose. You want to know your purpose? You want to know why you're on this planet? Surrender your life to Jesus, and he has a way of unfolding it all. And the good news is, you don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out, because the one who designed you and created you already knows the end from the beginning. We just need to surrender, yield, and follow in his steps and get a vision for our life the way God has for us. And again, in Proverbs 16, the wisdom tells us that, you know what, we may have a whole lot of plans for our life. We create a whole lot of agendas and ambitions and plans, but ultimately, it is the Lord who will determine our steps. It is the Lord who will determine our steps. So what should we do? We should seek him, seek his ways, and then in turn, he opens our eyes to see where our life needs to go. Talking about vision, as we mentioned earlier, the vision of our church here at New Life is this, is to keep and to make Jesus the center of our life, church, and community. And so I want to take a moment in this original blueprint of Acts 2 today and just shine some light and really kind of hit the refresh button, if you will. If things aren't loading, you know, quick enough for us in our fast-paced world, what do we typically do? Hit the refresh. Scroll up, scroll down, make it come faster, make it go quicker so that we can see what we want to see, right? Today, let's hit the refresh button on these original blueprints and kind of bring them to the surface a little bit and look at what was involved in these blueprints. I'm just going to highlight I want to highlight just four parts of the blueprints here that we find here in Acts chapter 2 in the early original church that are still prevalent and necessary in our life today. One is they had a vision of prayer. They had a vision of prayer. I've talked a whole lot about prayer this first part of the year. I felt coming into the year that we needed to highlight prayer, talk about it more, try to pray more, try to encourage more, try to continue to build that. Here at New Life, part of our vision is to create a culture where everyone prays. Create a culture where everyone prays. It says here in this early text that they came together regularly and they were found together to pray. They came together to pray. Paul writes in another letter, we mentioned this before, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to make your life a prayer, or another translation says, pray without ceasing. I like how the Passion puts it, make your life a prayer. I think for some, we have this mindset or this vision of prayer is it's just can only be done behind closed doors all alone by yourself. But I really think the ongoing vision and learning of this, of what Paul is speaking to, is that our life is to be a life of prayer. That not only do we have moments of quiet time and alone time and isolation because the Lord himself did that, but we are also called to live a life of prayer. And I just want to toss out a few thoughts to you about this. Is one, if you struggle in developing, learning how to pray and wanting to pray and figuring out how to pray, in fact, the disciples were in the same boat. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And we have the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord expounds on that and teaches that and teaches them the spirit of prayer. I would like to maybe just toss this idea out to you. If you need trying to find traction in prayer, there's a lot of guided prayers. You can download the YouVersion Bible app onto your smartphone. And in that, they have daily prayers. It helps to generate a discipline, helps to generate a desire, and it helps to generate a little bit of a design to try to get us to be thinking and be more mindful of building a life of prayer. Another thought I would toss out to you is one thing that we're continuing to build on here is to have moments of prayer, is before church at 9:15, a 30-minute window between 9:15 and 9:45, there's a classroom down the hall here that we gather and pray. You can come anytime in that 30-minute window. This is the first time I publicly broadcast it because I've been wanting to try to just personally commit to it myself before I put it out to the church. And so our staff is aware of this. And I also wanted to let you know that that is happening. Come every week if you want. Come once in a blue moon. I don't care. I just want to invite you to come and join some other folks who are praying. You'll see me most of the time. Sometimes I might be a little late getting into the game, but nonetheless, that 30-minute window is open to just come and pray. Another point of prayer is we also pray in this general vicinity right here at 10 a.m. roughly. It's called a prayer rally. We gather those who are leading in our services for the day, leading on stage, leading behind the scenes, leading in New Life Kids, leading right here. And we all gather together to just have a few minutes to pray and dedicate this service to the Lord and seek Him and want Him to know that God, whatever you have planned for your people today at New Life, we just want to be a part of it. We want to be vessels that you can use and people that you can flow through. And we just give this time and this worship service to the Lord. One of the things that has taught me a little bit about prayer is just this simple thought, is that those you hang out with rub off on you. And so if you want to learn more about prayer and developing a life of prayer, hang around people who pray. And so we have two connecting points before service. We also make time to pray during service. We're going to pray at the end of our service today. Prayer is a big deal. Prayer is connecting with God. Prayer is casting our cares onto the Lord. Prayer is taking time to listen to what He has to say. Prayer is simply surrendering and yielding all things unto Him and making it known from our mouth and our heart to the Lord. and communicating that. Prayer is asking God for help. Prayer is seeking His guidance. Prayer is praying the prayer of faith. Prayer is praying the strongholds of the enemy would be broken. Standing in your ground, you're a spiritual authority. Taking authority over darkness. Taking authority over the evil ones. Because our battles are not flesh and blood. Our battles are spiritual. So we don't duke it out in the physical, but we do go to warfare in prayer. And we pray in the spirit. We pray in English. We pray the word of God over our life, over our situations. A lot of the songs we sang today, not only were their praises and worship to God, but they were also prayers going up to God. That Jesus, I speak the name of Jesus over fear and over anxiety. I speak the name of Jesus over my family. I speak and declare the word and the will of God over my house. So that is prayer. It's not about being so eloquent and having a religious verbiage that makes you sound distinguished. It's just being real and sincere and authentic and coming to the Lord. Amen? So prayer was certainly part of the blueprint. And here at New Life, part of our vision is to create a culture where everyone prays. Here's a second part that we find in this early church, the blueprints of the early church. They had worship and spiritual growth were vital. Here at New Life, we have a vision to also create a culture where everyone worships and where everyone is growing spiritually. You see that in this early church and in these blueprints where they were in fellowship with one another and they daily came together to worship the Lord. It was a big deal. A lot of families are in this boat of back to school. Some, for the first time, dropping their kids off at college. Some seeing their kids leave home and go to other places in their callings and careers and trainings. And as a parent, I can now say I can sympathize and empathize with you. Those of you who have already been there, it's hard. It's hard. You're excited. I'm excited to see them fly. But man, it's nerve-wracking. Young ones, just know it's hard on your parents. We want you to go for it. We want you to fly. We want you to succeed. We want you to leave the nest. But it is hard. It's something you don't know what it feels like until you feel it, right? Well, I'm one of those. We dropped our oldest off last week at Visible Music College in Memphis. And we set an orientation on Saturday with the president and some few other staff. And he said, I look at a lot of numbers. He said, as the president, I have to look at a lot of numbers. But he said, here's the number one number I'm most concerned about our school. And that is church participation. I want every one of our students to have 100% church engagement, activity, and participation. He said, I look at a lot of numbers. Numbers are important. But if that is falling down, then we start digging around and finding out what is going on in your life that's keeping you from connecting with the church. That made me feel real solid. That made me feel real comfortable. And I love that. That's part of their DNA, is to make that a big issue. Church engagement, church involvement. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The writer says, verse 25, it said, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of Christ's return is drawing near. Let us not neglect the meeting together. He's speaking of coming together in a consistent manner as the church to worship and grow spiritually together. And he said, some people have kind of fallen out of the habit of that. So what must we do? Curse them out? Shame them? No, encourage them. Do all we can to encourage one another to be in church. We don't take role here or anything to that nature, but we try to keep tabs. If people are missing, we want to find what's going on. But we also want to create a culture where that's all of us keeping tabs, all of us knowing about our circle, our friendships, those we sit near. We all have our habits. We're creature of habits. You always sit there. I always sit there. You pretty much always sit. And, you know, all of us sit. You back row, we're praying for you. You know, you always sit there. All these things we have, but we all kind of know who's around. That's a good thing. And we need to encourage one another, especially as the day of Christ's return is drawing near. So not only is it important to be together in church, but it's also important to grow together as the church. Look with me in Colossians 2. Again, we spent a whole few weeks on this letter. Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul writes, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord," that's awesome, that's amazing, that's eternal, life-changing, he said, "but you must continue to follow him. Don't be content with just getting your ticket to heaven stamped." Don't be that kind of believer. He said, no, you got to go after it and follow the Lord. Put some faith in motion. Surrender all to Jesus, all to him. And he says this, he explains it this way, verse 7, "Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught." He said, in other words, God does not just call us just to pray the prayer of salvation and accept Christ, but then he calls us to follow Christ. Follow him with all that is within you. Make a decision, make a commitment to love him with all your heart, soul, and strength. And follow him. Put some action in your faith. Roots grow down. You know, if you want your tree to grow, you got to have the right nutrients in the soil for the roots to get what they need to get, right? God, same with our faith. Let your spiritual roots get down into Christ and grow in your faith. That comes from God's word. That comes from being in his word. That comes from being in fellowship with one another. That comes from worshiping with one another. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to just listen to you sing and worship because it stirs my heart. It encourages me to try to know a lot of you and to know your stories and to know where your walk has been, to know what trials you've been in, and what celebrations you've been a part of. And here you are to sing, here you are to worship. There was somebody over here on this side, man, just blasting it out in a beautiful way earlier. I could hear you and I was like, I don't know who it is, I'm not looking, but man, I am so stirred to hear them sing this morning. That's part of what corporate worship does as the body of Christ. It's not just, you know, us singing a song, but when we sing, not only do our spirits connect with God and our hearts connect with God and our minds connect with God, but our faith of singing, our way of singing inspires other people too. It inspires other people as well. So it's not enough to just go to church to just accept Christ, but to make it a priority to want to grow in Christ, worship and grow spiritually. And obviously Sundays is our big day. That's the big day to come together as a church. And over the course of spring and fall, we have a run of about 8 weeks where we concentrate on a theme. And that'll be starting, you'll hear more details about that in the announcements, but that'll be starting the end of August, August 28th. We kick back with Wednesdays, and it'll run all the way through October. And then we're going to end with a pretty big celebration for fall at the end of October. But it'll run on Wednesdays from 6 to 7:30. Our New Life Kids, our Glare Youth, and our adults all have something specific for each one of us. It's a midweek, 8 week run where we can concentrate some specific time to dig into the word and to dig in together with one another outside of Sundays and to grow spiritually. So I want to encourage you in that. Here's another third part of the blueprints. You guys with me? You still following? Okay. The part of the blueprint in Acts 2 is they had community. It was a big deal as well. The blueprint called for community, and we see it practiced. Here at New Life, we have a vision to create a culture where everyone belongs and everyone cares. And you can see that in the DNA here of this early church, where it says they were mutually linked to one another, and they had generosity towards one another and served and gave to one another. And you see that on display. There's a word there in the Greek for fellowship of community. It's a word called koinonia. And that word means close mutual relationship and involvement. It's one thing to know somebody, but it's a whole nother thing to be mutually together and involved in each other's lives. That was the early church. That was part of the original blueprint, was to be mutually connected and a part of one another's life. And Galatians, let's look at that, 6. Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10. Paul writes this, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Part of what is he talking about of not getting tired of doing good? Verse 10, "Therefore, when we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." You see that practiced in the early church. They especially made time to be good to one another. They especially served one another. They especially contributed to one another on a variety of different levels. So Paul is speaking to us here, and we learn here out of the early church's origination that community is so important. It's so important to build a connection, to build a relationship, to build a mutually involved connection with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. There's so much to give, and there's so much to gain and so much to learn from when we do that. Paul paints a beautiful picture in 1 Corinthians 12 talking about the body of Christ, and he says this, and near the end of that, or kind of in the middle, he says, you know, you look at it this way: when one part of the body suffers, all suffer. But when one part of the body is honored, we all celebrate. You can see the connection and the fluid work of the body of Christ, the church working in that way. You feel when your foot is hurt, the rest of your body knows your foot is hurt, right? As same as the church. When you know one is down, we should be so connected in a way that we should know to pray, at least, and know how can I help? How can I serve? What is it that you can need help with in this moment? And that was what the early church was so good at doing. And throughout the New Testament, it was a continual practice of community development with one another. So we have different ways to practice that here and ensure that it's not the only way, but it is a designed way of intentionality. One of the things I want to tell you about is this, is between now and the end of the year, we're going to be working a little extra hard at growing our community life groups. We want to grow them by the beginning of next year, we want to have several. And so I'm going to be working with several different people in the church that are helping to lead in that and help grow those. So by the end of the year to the beginning of the year, we're going to be broadcasting that a little bit more. And so there'll be more that are on the way, all right? And also I want to remind you, we have men and women's connections, fellowships. The men, we are consistent with having a monthly men's breakfast. Coming in October, we're going to have our first retreat that we haven't had one in quite a long time, so we're excited about that. Also, the ladies, they just had a brunch yesterday. They have monthly brunches. They also have other connecting points of times where they come together throughout the year to create and foster fellowship, togetherness, prayer, and just to share. And so those are some things that are currently in the works. Our next gen, as I said, in the fall with back to school, starting back on Wednesdays, our next gen ministry with New Life Kids, and our Glare Youth are coming together on a weekly basis. And so I just want to throw those out there and highlight those as a reminder of points of connection, points of community, all right? Points of community. And so I would just encourage you to do all that you can to look into connecting even more. And then lastly, doesn't say it quite like this, but I take a little bit of revelational freedom in this, and that is this last point I want to make about the blueprint of the original church. Talked about the blueprint of prayer, the blueprint of worship and spiritual growth, the blueprint of community, and this one here, the blueprint of the next generation. A vision, part of our vision here at New Life is to create a culture where the next generation thrives. That's been in for a very long time, a part of the DNA of this church, and will continue to be. I just have to believe that when it says every believer, there were 3,000 on that day of Pentecost that came to faith, and it says every single one of them began to devote themselves to these different parts of this blueprint. I have to believe that inside of every believer, there were some kids. There were children, there were teenagers that came to faith and put their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus was known for telling people, hey, don't keep those little ones from getting to me. In fact, let them come right up and sit in my lap. Let them hang out right here. And he blessed them and he would pray for them. And I just have to believe that he would have some conversations with those young minds and those young hearts and reassure them they're loved, they're cared for, and there is tremendous purpose that he has for their life. And I have to believe that that happened on the day of Pentecost, on this first day of the church and the setting of the blueprint moving forward, that every believer included the next generation. And so throughout from Old Testament to New Testament, we see teachings that instruct us, teach the truth to our children, all the way back into Deuteronomy 6. Teaches us to sit down and talk to our kids about faith. Teaches us when they go to bed, talk about it. Teaches us when we leave our house, talk about it. In other words, to build a life and a household that follows the Lord and it speaks the truth and teaches the truth. I want to walk us through a few psalms, if you will, as we come to a close here in just a moment. Look with me in Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 17 says, O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God, but let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. Look with me in Psalm 78, verse 4. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Verse 5, for he has issued his laws to Jacob and he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their generation. That's speaking back to Deuteronomy 6, what I mentioned a second ago. So the next generation might know them, and even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Look at Psalm 127. This is the last one. Familiar verses to us here. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries, it will do no good. And it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning till late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. Verse 3, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. These psalms describe some action points to us. They tell us to proclaim the truth. They tell us to pass along the truth. They tell us to teach the truth and take time to do that. They teach us to launch our young people towards their intended target that God has set for their life. We have a tremendous opportunity as a church, certainly as parents, guardians of the next generation, that I have to believe that new church in Acts 2, there wasn't too much time didn't go by till there was a young man by the name of Timothy that Paul saw and met, who felt called to the ministry but was unsure what to do. That Paul, after his conversion, took time to do just that with Timothy. He called him, spent time with him, taught him, passed truth on to him, and then Paul launched him like an arrow to be a pastor in Ephesus. That's what we are all called to do in some fashion, in some shape, some form, is to create a culture as the body of Christ where the next generation can thrive. I mean, come on, I'm not trying to make a spectacle out of you guys, but man, as a pastor, certainly as a dad, this is amazing. To see young people want to sit on the front row at church? What? Come on. Can I just brag on you guys a little bit? I know you're sprinkled around this sanctuary today, but praise God for mom and dad and those who brought them today. Thank you for doing that. You didn't make them sit here. They want to sit here. And I want to tell you, your energy is contagious. Your excitement for God is contagious. And I know they'd be the first ones to say, we don't have it all together. We don't have it all figured out. But where do you learn the most? Church and those who you hang out with, right? Come on, we're doing something right, church. We're doing something right. You are doing something right. Moms, dads, don't be too hard on yourself. I know you live with them. I get it. I know. I get it. But you got to be thanking God on a Sunday. Now, I don't know what it was like on the way to church for you. They might have had I don't want to get up today kind of feeling. I don't want to get it going. But you're here. And you're here. And they'll be here on Wednesdays. And they love to see each other. They love to worship together. That's one of the big things I love about this church is we are building a culture to help this next generation thrive. And I want us to continue to be able to continue to pass the baton. Many of them lead in different ways, serve in different ways. And I'm excited about that. And we get that opportunity. And this early church, I just have to believe that, man, they had this chance and they did it. They created space. It was in the blueprint to design it and to make it happen. Don't forget the children. Don't forget the young people. Don't forget they are also vital. They are just as much a part of this faith as everyone else. And Paul told it well to Timothy in his last letter to him. He said, I'm so admired by your faith, Timothy, your genuine faith. That faith first dwelt in your grandmother, and then it was in your mother, and it was passed on to you. There was a generational transition and handoff where that family got it right. And church, let's decide to get it right. And I also want to encourage you in this too. That if you've got offspring who are not in the church, who are not serving the Lord right now, I want to encourage you, don't stop doing the first part of this DNA, of this blueprint. Pray. I want to keep praying. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for your family. Those who are in church and those who are not, keep them lifted up in the hand of God. Because I do believe that God's word, as Isaiah said, wherever it was sent forth, to whomever it was sent forth, wherever it was planted, it's going to return the right kind of harvest. God's word is like seed planted, and it will come around. I want to encourage you in that. Don't stop praying. And as our young people from New Life Kids come in, I want to bring it to a close. that one of the points I want to make in closing is the last verse of Acts 2, verse 47. Different translations say it a few different ways, but basically some summarize it this way, that there was definitely a blueprint that existed in the early church that was being used to build lives in a way that glorified God. And here, as a result, their life didn't just glorify God, but as a result of that, it said that God was bringing people to faith every single day. I think the message might say it this way: people on the outside liked what they saw happening on the inside, and they came to faith. What a testimony about church. People in the world actually liking what they see in the church so much that it compels them to surrender their life to Jesus and to follow Him. That's our aim, is to glorify God with our life in such a way that compels those on the outside looking at us to want to serve and know Jesus. And that's what was going on. And this is the kind of vision that you and I must get and you and I must keep for our lives moving forward, to pursue this blueprint with all that is within us. I want to invite you to stand now that our young ones are back in. One, for our next gen, I want to remind you that one of the take-homes that we give out every week, stand up here for a second, is we send home a little, a short newsletter. It's called the Parent Q. And if you're unfamiliar with this, they should have, see some with them in their hands right now. Those are not just, oh, that's cute, throw it in the garbage, take it. I want to encourage you to take it and look at it. And it's got a QR code on there to get the app, the Parent Q app. And it sends weekly reminders. And I just want to highlight a couple thoughts on that. It gives good conversation starters and it gives good prayer starters. Like in the morning, it says, as your kids start their day, share with them a way. This is just one example. Share with them a way that you've seen them be hopeful or resilient with a tough situation. One of the things that this has done for me is to open my eyes to pay a little more attention to the activity of my kids, not necessarily monitoring what they're doing, but to see how they're doing it. And it triggers a thought in me to try to ask them a question. I try to take one of these or two of these a week and just at random ask them a question. Maybe at bedtime, maybe on the way to school, maybe while they're eating their breakfast or something like that. I don't know. I'm not perfect at it. I'm by all means. But this is really good. So I want to encourage you, take these with you each week. And if you don't have the Parent Q app, all you got to do is scan the QR code and you'll get it right on your phone. And you can access the same exact stuff on your phone that's in print. Also, as we close today, here's what we're going to ask us to do today. We have a benediction that we normally would pronounce over our families and over our church. Today, what I'm going to do is ask the head of households today. We have this benediction that will be on the screen. We also have print copies available. If you'd like to take one home, they're at the back table there that you can pick one up. Okay, it looks just like what you see on the screen. And so this will be up during this moment of prayer. What I'm going to ask you to do is, as heads of households, I want you to just gather your kids together in your little circle, your little huddle. And if you're by yourself today, I want to encourage you to get with another sister in the Lord or another brother in the Lord and just come together. And all I'm going to ask you to do is I want you to just take this benediction. It's a blessing. It's a prayer. It's a declaration out of Numbers chapter 6. And I just want to ask you, take time to pronounce this over your family as we close today. I'm going to pray, and then you can move into little huddles and circles with your family. And then after that, we'll come together to close. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much how you love us, how you care for us, and how you call us all into fellowship and relationship with you. Today, Lord, I pray if there's anyone struggling in their faith, wondering, does God care? Does God love me? Am I even worthy enough? Will He even accept me? Today, I pray that you would open up eyes to see and to know that you love us and that you, Jesus, are the one who died for us shed your blood for our forgiveness, call us into relationship, and then, man, you just set us moving forward in what you have created us for. So I pray today that that would happen. I pray also, Lord, for anyone who might be discouraged or wrestling with condemnation. Lord, I ask that you would lift that off of them and free them from that, because in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for those who follow you. So, Lord, let that be the case in each and every one of our lives. And I also pray, Lord, collectively, that you would bring together each family, each household as one. Set your hand on each one, Lord, in a reassuring way today, to guide and lead, to guard and keep and protect them, to build your peace on them. Lord, to spread out your provision within them and to just show them that you oversee their life, that we can trust you. We honor you and we give you thanks, Lord. Continue to build this church in the way that you see fit, and that we would be the members that would honor you with it, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's take a moment to pray this benediction over our families.